18th and Vine was a great place to celebrate Mardi Gras this week. On Tuesday night, the venues were hopping, though the sidewalks were pretty empty. It was cold outside. Travel websites and the city's tourism officials promote the historic district as a must-see destination, but for years, the problem has been people have come to see one thing there, but don't really hang out. Now, as Kansas City is considering another financial infusion into the area, we thought we'd spend some time there over the next month or so. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Gina Kaufman. Later today on Central Standard, we'll talk about the intersection of race and sports and money. But first, we start our exploration of another intersection, 18th and Vine, beginning with a visit with KCUR's Laura Ziegler.
The Kansas City Friends of Alvin Ailey has made its home in the district since 2007. Artistic director Tyrone Akin says it was the dream of the world-famous dancer Alvin Ailey to have a presence in the Jazz District.
Mr. Ailey's last ballet was a tribute to Jay McShane. He really wanted to explore Kansas City jazz. It was a way to talk about America.
Today, hundreds of students come for dance classes every week. The company has performances across the street at the Gem Theater, where Count Basie and other jazz greats once played. Alvin Ailey started the Kansas City Friends in 1987. In the three decades since, more than $100 million federal and city dollars have poured into the district. Records show public funding has gone for infrastructure, institutions, exhibits, and festivals at 18th and Vine. A big chunk of that largesse went to two museums that opened in the late 90s. It was hoped that the American Jazz Museum and the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum would be the catalyst for a renaissance in the district. On a winter weekday morning, you can only hear the footsteps of staff echoing in the cavernous lobby of the two museums. But officials report thousands of visitors a year and that they're in solid financial shape. They acknowledge it's been a challenge to get locals to come back to see the exhibits, to hear the stories of Kansas City Jazz or the Negro Leagues.
The Negro Leagues were born for a simple reason. White baseball players refused to play with black.
You're drawn into the American Jazz Museum by Charlie Parker's velvety saxophone playing through the speakers overhead. The first glass case holds a shiny white saxophone that Charlie Parker once played.
Charlie Parker had that saxophone with him always. He played it for this very famous concert, Jazz at Massey Hall in Toronto.
Jazz Museum spokesman Chris Burnett says this 1953 concert was recorded, and that makes this saxophone especially significant, he says, because it was the only time jazz icons Dizzy Gillespie, Max Roach, Charlie Mingus, Bud Powell, and Charlie Parker ever recorded together. Officials of both museums recognize to grow, they need traveling exhibits, more programming, and opportunities for scholarship. But come to the district on a Saturday night, or maybe the Tuesday night of Mardi Gras like I did, and the feeling is very different. You absolutely can't find a place to park. And on a recent Saturday afternoon, there may not be any walkers on the street, but the few restaurants are hopping. At Danny's Big Easy Cajun Restaurant, the saxophone is wailing, and they couldn't keep the shrimp etouffee coming fast enough.
I need an etouffee, man, like
hours. I'll get it right now. I told him to get it.
Owner Danny Gosserand isn't getting rich, but he says business is good.
It's happening for Danny's. I'm on the corner, 18th and Vine. I might take a plane, I might take a train.
He's a jolly guy, but Gosserand says developers and some stakeholders make it difficult for new places to open up. He says the district could use some new restaurants and clubs.
I'm doing my thing, but nobody else's, you know.
What do you mean?
Oh, they have opportunity. Like I said, people come down and open businesses, but I don't know if they're more worried about failures or not.
And up the street at the 18 OV Salon this Saturday afternoon, it's also happening. A wall of men wait in chairs for a cut with one of Joey Thomas's hip barbers. Thomas is in his young 30s, and he remembers doing book reports about this area. He says it was a dream come true when space opened up at 18th and Vine.
I love it down here on the Vine. I love the opportunity. I love the neighbors, the people, the clients that we've gotten. Our team is great. Our cuts are excellent.
Business is good, he says, but getting started was not easy.
Couldn't get no loans, couldn't get no money.
And you said you think because of your shade.
Yeah,
because of your race, you think that plays a part?
I might have been a shade too dark for some people, but for others that believe, here I am.
Thomas wants his place to be as much a community center as a salon. Before school started, he gave free haircuts to almost 300 students. But he worries the district isn't finding the right balance between looking forward and looking back.
And that's his mother right there.
Chester Thompson greets Joey Thomas's mother in the lobby of the newly renovated Lincoln Building. She does women's hair in her son's salon.
Hey, Jean. Okay.
Thompson works in the historic Lincoln Office Building, once home to doctors, lawyers, and accountants. In the 1930s and 40s, it was the hub of the African-American business community. For decades, the building has housed the Black Economic Union. Chester Thompson came to run the BEU 8 years ago after a long career as an engineer. For years, the BEU was the driver of economic development in the district, but in recent years, it has had its own management problems. It struggled to recruit and keep investors.
So it's a sore spot. I mean, it's not a good story to tell, but it's not a good story to tell if you're going to quit on it. And I think that's why we're doing what we're doing and going forward. We're not going to quit on it.
And so Thompson's handing over leadership of the BEU to Marvin Lyman. He's a young former teacher who grew up at his family's restaurant, Papa Lou's, nearby.
What's here now at 18th and Vine is a hope of a dream deferred.
Marvin Lyman recently testified at City Hall that the latest $18 million the city's proposing for the district isn't enough, that it will doom the district to dry up like a raisin in the sun. Lyman's part of a new young African-American leadership that's helping revitalize Kansas City's downtown. 18th and Vine, he argues, may be the greatest legacy Kansas City's downtown has to offer.
We gave a gift to the world. The world recognizes it. It's time that we do the same.
The problem seems to be that there are many different ideas about what 18th and Vine should be, an entertainment district, residential, historic, or retail. Once that's decided, then maybe the harder questions emerge. Who should make it happen, and who should be in charge?
That was KCUR's Laura Ziegler, and the first of a series of reports we'll be airing in the next few weeks about the 18th and Vine District, trying to answer some of those unanswered questions. KCUR's other Laura, Laura Spencer, has been reporting on 18th and Vine for years, and we're glad you're here. Welcome, Laura.
Thanks, Brian. Nice to be here.
So as part of this reporting project, we've been asking our listeners through the Tell KCUR network, when was the last time they visited 18th and Vine? And you've looked over all those answers. What's your sense? Are people actually going?
Yes. We heard from dozens of people, dozens of our listeners, and the majority of them have gone in the past year. Many of them have gone in the past month and at least go at least a few times a year. And many of them are going to the music venues, to the Blue Room or the Gem Theater. They're kind of, you know, they're going for jazz music or they're going to take friends.
So how long has it been and why are some people not going?
Well, we only heard from about four people who said they'd never gone. And some of them said that the admission to the museums was a deterrent or there was no vegetarian food. And as you heard in Laura Ziegler's piece, you know, there aren't a lot of restaurants, so there aren't a lot of options in the district right now.
My sense is that even for people who do go, a lot of times they go once and then they don't go back maybe for a long time. What are some of the barriers that seem to keep people from coming back?
That's right. There were a few people who said, you know, if you go once, you've seen it all. And there was one of our listeners who drives through the district each year. He lives outside of Kansas City. But and he's looking for something new each year, but he hasn't seen change. So I think people are really hopeful to see new things each time they come through. But I think that sometimes there are some people who feel that they've gone once to the museums and there's not a reason to go back.
Right. I get that. Maybe we should clarify, what area are we talking about? When we say the 18th and Vine District, we're talking about more than just one intersection.
That's right. It's roughly defined by the Paseo and East 17th Terrace, which is also called Buck O'Neill Way, and Woodland and 19th Street. although it's interesting, I mean, those are the definitions by the JDRC, which has been involved in the redevelopment of the district,
the,
and also
the Jazz District Redevelopment Corporation.
That's okay. Right. And also the National Historic Register. But if you look outside of the district, those boundaries, that's where you'll find Parade Park. That's why where you'll find the Greg Kleist Community Center. So we're in the beginning stages of our reporting, and so we'll really be taking a closer look at the boundaries of the district.
Right. I don't think we really think about who actually lives in the 18th and Vine District, but there is a residential neighborhood.
That's right. There's, you know, in the last decade or so, there's been, you know, apartments built along Paseo and in other parts of the district. So there are folks who, more people who are moving into the district, including some of our current city councilmen like Quentin Lucas.
Laura Ziegler also mentioned in her report some of the institutions that exist there, and I think Kansas City residents know some of those institutions well, the Jazz Museum, the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Maybe they know of Kansas City Friends of Alvin Ailey. What are some of the other institutions, maybe just a little lower in the radar?
There's the Black Archives of Mid-America that's partnered with the Kansas City Public Library, and they hold the collection of the Alvin Ailey archives. There's also the Call, the historically African-American newspaper. And as you mentioned, there are apartment buildings. There's the Greg Kleist Community Center. And then there's the Buck O'Neill Center right off Paseo. That's the former YMCA.
So there's a lot more going on down there than I think a lot of people realize.
That's right.
Mutual Musicians Foundation is another thing that's there. What goes on at the Mutual Musicians Foundation?
Well, it's interesting. We heard from listeners who that was, you know, a draw for them, from musicians to just jazz fans. If you go to the Mutual Musicians Foundation, it's a long time, you know, a lot of jazz musicians will go play there in the after hours. They'll play in a gig around Kansas City, and then there's a late night jam.
So, they kind of play for each other.
Yeah, and so often you'll go, if you go midnight, it's sometimes still considered early. I know Steve Kraske, UpToDate's host, went recently and they said, well, come back about 1. And so I think that, you know, it's just late night and the, you know, jam goes on until early in the morning.
But I may be too old to appreciate the Mutual Musicians Foundation. You know, it's funny. I have to say, Laura, I drove through not too long ago and I was struck by, you know, just to look at the storefronts, to look at along the streets, it looks like there's a lot there, but there weren't very many people around. How does that happen exactly?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Robert Altman was a Kansas City native filmmaker,
right.
Came to Kansas City, and it's been 2 decades now since he filmed Kansas City here. And as part of that, there were painted storefronts along 18th and Vine. And so some of those facades are still in place. I talked to some of the set designers a few years ago who come back through every so often, and you can still see some of the curtains hanging in the window. And I think part of that also along 18th Street is sort of the expectation that it would be a temporary facade, these temporary signs, because development would come.
Mm. So, but instead, it sort of ends up as a movie set that's abandoned in some ways.
That's right.
So we're doing this reporting on 18th and Vine as the city is considering another $18 million investment in the district. We have a timeline on our website right now, kcur.org, that details previous investments in the district all the way back to 1989 when then-Mayor Emmanuel Cleaver envisioned a tourist district there. How much money altogether has gone into it?
Well, my colleague C.J. Janovy spent some time going through the city documents and put together a timeline of spending since 1990, and it's a little over $100 million.
Wow.
And about $12 million of that has gone to the American Jazz Museum, a little over $1 million to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, about $2 million to the Urban Youth Baseball Academy, and about $26 million estimated for debt service to the district. So it's kind of an interesting look at where the money's gone, but I think for us, since we're, you know, in the beginning stages of this reporting, it also raises a lot of questions, you know, things that we want to, you know, go into a little bit more deeply about where the money has gone.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of it went into building museums that we now know and we appreciate, like the Jazz Museum and the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, but that was a long time ago now.
That's right. And some of the, you know, so it's been a, you know, as you can, if you look at CJ, her timeline on the website, there's been a, you know, a little bit of money each year, sometimes, you know, several hundred thousand, sometimes a few million, but some of it's for exhibitions, some of it's for neighborhood tourist development, for events to bring people into the district and also to sustain and support the museums and what they do.
So let's take a step back from kind of those particulars and just ask, and maybe you got this from Tell KCUR, maybe it's from your reporting on this over so many years, but why is the 18th and Vine area so important? I mean, there's a lot of intersections, there's a lot of neighborhoods that were important at one time, but they just aren't anymore, and we don't really think about them. Why is 18th and Vine still something important to people?
Well, I think it's important because of its history as this center for African American commerce and business, and also for its jazz history. And I think that's something with the Mutual Musicians Foundation and the American Jazz Museum, something that is still supported and celebrated in the district. I think it has, a lot of kind of cultural interest here in the Kansas City area is something to take pride in. And I think that's why people are kind of passionate about it, even if they haven't visited in 5 or more years. Mm-hmm. They want it to succeed, even if, they haven't found a reason to go back.
Yeah, it's almost the idea of the 18th and Vine District that they really cherish. There is stuff going on there today, though, right? I mean, it's not just a historic district.
That's right, yeah.
Maybe you could give us a little preview to the degree that we're able. I know we have a lot more decisions to make about what we will be digging into, but what kind of events, what kind of stories do you see being part of this project?
Well, we are this was sparked by the funding that was approved by City Council of $18 million. And so we're going to be, taking a close look up until decision is made on March 6th, when the city manager is going to make his funding proposals and bring it back to the council. But in the next few months, up to date, hopes to have a town forum in the district, bringing area residents and businesses to talk a little bit about past and future of the district. We'll be talking to, American Jazz Museum. There's a new leadership there, and kind of looking more closely at that, too.
And right, we heard from Chepto Kosatani Buckner yesterday on this program, and lots of new things are happening down there, it seems like.
That's right.
So my last question, Laura, is what is your favorite thing to do in the 18th and Vine District?
Well, we mentioned the Mutual Musicians Foundation, and that is one of those places that's, great to take out of towners, but you do need to take a nap and then expect to stay up late. So
maybe I can squeeze a nap into my schedule so I can go to the Musicians Foundation.
And in Laura Ziegler's piece, she mentioned Mardi Gras, and there's been a movement in the last, at least decade or so to connect the crossroads with 18th and Vine. So Mardi Gras is always a fun time to walk from the crossroads to 18th and Vine and kind of see that connection of jazz and culture.
All right. Only 363 days till the next Mardi Gras, so put it on your calendar. Laura Spencer is an arts reporter here at KCUR 89.3. Laura, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Brian.
Read more of our reporting on whether and why people go to 18th and Vine, and also on public investment in the district. That's all on our website at kcur.org. We'll be hearing more about 18th and Vine in upcoming weeks, but coming up on Central Standard today, we turn from an historic intersection for African Americans and others in our city to the intersection of race and sports. How are people of color engaging and engaged by athletics and sports and business in our culture today? Stay with us. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3.